Hey there, this is Philip Schaus from every band you've ever heard of, and you're watching Metal from the Inside with Sydney Taylor.
You've tuned in to the most crazy rocking metal podcast on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Metal from the Inside.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Metal from the Inside podcast. I'm your host, Sydney Taylor, and yes, I didn't let you down. Like I said last week, we are back every single Friday with a brand new episode and a brand new interview, and I have a funny little story leading up to the interview that I have for you guys today on this wonderful yet chilly Friday, depending on where you are in the country, but here in Philadelphia, or even the world, but here in Philadelphia, it has been quite a cold couple of weeks, but like I said, I have a really kind of fun story that led to this entire conversation that you are about to hear. And back in December, I had the chance to travel back to where I grew up. And if you're familiar with me and not only my podcast, but what I do outside of the podcast, I am a guest on the Sea of Tranquility YouTube channel, which is a really amazing channel run by Pete Pardo, who lives in the Hudson Valley. And I am on the Hudson Valley Squares, which is a weekly show that is done every single Monday, a Monday evening specifically, featuring a lot of us that live in the Hudson Valley or used to, me being the one that used to, which, you know, I'm sure that many of you who listen to the podcast are well aware of the show by now and everything like that. But I had the opportunity to travel back to where I grew up and go to see a show with the entire Hudson Valley Squares team, which was really great. It was the first time that I ever met any of them, which I know that's insane. I had known Steve before. I'd met him a bunch going to Rock Fantasy when I grew up in the area, but the rest of them, I had never met them before, and it was just so much fun to go to a show and finally meet them and hang out. It was just freaking awesome. But we went to go see Accept, yes, the legendary Accept, at the Chance Theater in Poughkeepsie, New York, and it was so much fun. I was telling Philip in this interview, I have Philip Schaus on from the band on today's episode, and I was telling Philip at the end of our conversation, and even in the middle of the conversation, I think I mentioned this a bit, about how it was really one of the first shows I've been to since, you know, live shows have started to come back in the last, you know, couple months, which I know we're seeing a little bit of a downtick of that at the moment, but, you know, in the fall, things were kind of coming back up again. It was getting a little bit, you know, getting to be a little bit more hopeful, and it was one of the first shows I went to where I really felt like I was just at, it was just so much fun. It was just a really great old school metal show. It was just fantastic. The energy was amazing. Everybody in the audience was into it. The band was into it. It was just, the whole just vibe of the place was amazing. So I was just having the time of my life. You know, we're hanging out. I had my dad with me and the Hudson Valley Squares and just Accept and feeling the energy of having live music back. And so I had a blast, and I was in the front row pretty much with Nick Franco and Ryan Scow from the Hudson Valley Squares. And I was just losing my mind. I was having a blast. And afterwards, you know, I get out of the show, walking back to the car, and I get a message from Philip. And we had known each other on social media for a little bit. I had never met him before, but, you know, I had followed him. I'm obviously a fan of Ace Frehley and Gene Simmons, and of course of Accept, obviously. I went to see the show. So I never really communicated with him too much before in the past prior to this, but I get a message from him and he's like, "I thought that was you." And I immediately started to crack up because I'm like, I was just losing my damn mind in the front row there. It was just so much fun. I kind of let all of the professional, you know, need or the need to be professional out of me for those that, you know, hour and a half that Accept us on. And I was like, yep, that was me. And we started chatting, and I asked him if he wanted to come on the podcast, and he said, absolutely. And so we sat down for the conversation that you are about to hear. And Philip is just one of the nicest guys. Truly, this conversation was so much fun. And I believe we talked for about 45 minutes and it didn't feel like 45 minutes even passed. We talked all things, of course, about Accept. And, you know, he is the most recent member of the band, joining back in 2019. So we talked a bit about how he joined the band, what it has been like to be in the band. You know, he only joined back, like I said, in 2019. So as well as how the pandemic affected Accept and the release of their most recent record, Too Mean to Die, which if you haven't checked it out yet, I highly recommend that you do. One of my favorite songs is Overnight Sensation off of that record. And we actually talk about that song specifically in our conversation, but we cover all things Accept, what it's like to, you know, be in the band and play such classic songs like, you know, Restless and Wild, Balls to the Wall, you know, all of those, you know, just iconic songs that we think of when we think of Accept. And of course, we talk about his time in both Ace Frehley and Gene Simmons solo bands. He played with Gene first, where he plays guitar, and a couple years back, he also joined Ace Frehley, where he plays bass, which is really cool that he does both for original Kiss members. We go into depth on that, and we talk about what it was like for him as a giant Kiss fan to join Ace and Gene's solo bands, because I tell him in the interview, it must be absolutely mind-blowing to get to go out on stage with your heroes every single night. So we talk a bit about that, and we also cover Philip's merchandise company, Mutt Merch, where he does dog and band merch. He kind of combines, you know, band names with dog breeds like Black Labbath, stuff like that. It's so cool. I absolutely love the designs and everything that he's created, and we get way more in depth in that in the conversation. And he also tells you where you can find the exclusive merchandise. So we really cover so much in this interview, and it was such a blast, like I said, to be able to chat with him. He was so much fun, so down to earth, and so obviously passionate about everything that he is doing. So we're going to get right into it. Without further ado, here is this week's episode, episode 49 of the Metal from the Inside podcast, my interview with Philip Schaus, guitarist for Gene Simmons, bassist for Ace Frehley, and guitarist for Accept. Sydney Taylor here. Welcome back to the Metal from the Inside podcast. This is really exciting because it's my first interview, actually, of 2022, which is really awesome. And super happy to have a very special guest on the show this week. He is a guitar player, and he's played with so many different bands, and the list goes on and on. Ace Frehley, Gene Simmons, he has his own projects, his own entrepreneurial merchandise company, which is so crazy, which I want to get into. And yeah, so he just does a lot, and his name is Philip Schaus. Thank you so much for being here today, Philip. I really appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure, Sydney. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah. So we saw each other recently, not really face to face, but kind of face to face at Accept at the Chance. And that was one of the only shows that you guys played this year.
Back
in 2021, which is crazy and so cool that I got to catch you guys on one of those, you know, only two shows. So what was that like for you guys? Because I know that some shows got canceled, postponed, and you guys only had those two shows. So what was it like for you guys to be able to play those?
Oh, it was great. I'm supposed to be in Europe right now.
I know. I was going to ask you about that. I was like, the dates are starting, but I don't think that that's happening.
Yeah. So it was really good. We got to play a few shows last year, M3, and a few shows around that. And then we had the two in New York, where we were, I saw you.
Right.
It was just good to knock the dust off, kind of, and you know, do something. Our fingers are crossed for summer coming up. Festival season's coming up. We're scheduled to go over in May. So, you know, we're just hoping for the best.
Right. And what's really interesting is I kind of want to get into it a little bit too about you joining the band, because I believe that's, you know, one of kind of the newest ventures that you've done. You got asked to join the band in 2019, which was right before the pandemic. So you didn't really have a chance to play a ton of live shows with them before this all happened, right?
Yeah, we had, I did a few shows, and then we had, you know, it was going to be recording the record and then having a big 2020, and then it all kind of went away.
Right.
We did record the record, but didn't get to really tour on it at all. I kind of came out, and then it was my fault. Sorry, everybody. it was me.
So how did it come to be that you joined the band? Because like you said, you do a lot of other different stuff. So it's like, you know, you're doing a bunch of different projects.
side gigs and stuff with Ace and Gene. So how did the opportunity A come to be? And, you know, how did you decide that, yeah, I got time for another project and, you know, we're able to take this on?
It's Accept is pretty much a Nashville-based band now. Wolf has lived in the area since the early 90s. He was one of the first kind of, you know, non-country guys to move here, like way before anybody did.
Right.
And one of my best friends, Christopher Williams, who's the drummer, he had gotten the gig back in 2015 or 16. And they needed a guitar player for Wolf's. He had a kind of a side thing with his classical project. So I did the Wacken part of that show. And in 2019, they were doing a tour, like a symphony tour of Europe and Eastern Europe. And they needed me for a fill-in. So I was just doing the gigs as a fill-in guitar player, not knowing that at the end of that, that was going to lead to me getting asked to be in the band, at which I said yes, because it really was a good fit. We got along on and off stage. The chemistry was really good all around. And I liked everybody, and apparently they liked me. And so it was a pretty easy decision to make.
Yeah, I know that you're, you know, definitely a Kiss fan, which I want to get into your projects with them. But, you know, joining those bands for you, you know, you knew the music, you knew the people, you were fans of these guys for years. Were you an Accept fan to start, or did you just kind of know, like, Balls to the Wall and, you know, the kind of hits?
I kind of knew the hits, and I kind of knew the bigger records, like the Balls record, Restless and Wild. I didn't like super dive in deep with them, but I knew, you know, because they were on my radar for years because, you know, watching Headbangers Ball, you know, as a kid, I remember that video coming on and the two white flying V's in sync with the moves and stuff. So yeah, they were totally ingrained in there. And we were I'd covered songs in different projects. So yeah, it is a trip, you know, especially when it gets to the end of the show and doing the Balls to the Wall and doing the thing, you know, the moves, everything. That's when it's like, this is really crazy, you know. But no, it's fun, and it's a trip to get to play those songs with the guy or the guys that, you know, made it happen.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, I know shows had kind of come back by the time I saw you guys a little bit, and we're kind of now in this weird period where stuff's getting, you know, postponed and canceled again, as you know, as you're supposed to be in Europe
sure.
right now. But I have to say that show was the first show back for me that it was like just really felt like an authentic, like heavy metal show. Like we were, you know, it just did. I mean, I had, you know, gone to seated shows, but like the Omicron thing wasn't a thing yet. And, you know, we were kind of all like, okay, I was vaccinated, you know, it was kind of just felt like normal times. Did it feel like that for you guys in a way?
Yeah, it always feels like a proper heavy metal show with us, because we've done a few here and there this past year, and we're all on the same show, like regardless if we're a festival or a smaller club over here in the States, it doesn't matter. We're going to do the same exact thing. And, you know, when you get the stuff on, you walk out and you're squaring off and doing all the choreography, the moves, which people don't really do all that anymore.
Right.
Which I'm very happy that we do that, because it's such a, I don't know, it's a unique thing. It makes, you know, it's like bands of that time, like, you know, Priest has their moves, Scorpions have their moves, Accept has their moves. It always feels like that. It always feels like a proper show whenever we do it, because it's not, you know, going through the motions and, you know, how to stand in there looking at your feet,
right.
You know, it's a full on show wherever we are, whatever country we're in.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that, but because before I saw you guys, I brought my dad with me, and he's a big metal fan. And so I actually got him the Wacken show on DVD that was filmed for like Christmas or birthday. And it was really funny because we watched it before we saw you guys, and he was like, it's so crazy. He's like, they're going to be going from playing like to a crowd of 80,000 people to the chants. And I was like, I know, but I mean, like you just said, I mean, it felt like I was in Germany, you know, like mm-hmm. watching the show, which I feel like the ability to be able to command the stage like that, all of you, and make it feel like, you know, I'm in a crowd of 80,000 people when I'm in a club that's, you know, in upstate New York is just, it's the coolest. So I commend you guys for that. Honestly, it's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. That's serious. We have a lot of fun, but it's serious business, you know, when you get down to it, and we want to do the same thing wherever we are and bring that feeling, the same feeling of, you know, it's a proper show and, you know, the metal spirit to wherever we're at.
Right. And so you guys released the record. You said it got postponed a little bit. And that was obviously the first recording that you did with them. What was the writing process like for that? Because, of course, it wasn't released until, I believe, January of last year. So about a year ago. Was it during the pandemic? Was it all remote? Did you guys have a chance to get together before everything kind of went down?
The writing, I didn't have anything on this one. And it was just because of me. I didn't have anything I wanted to present, you know, anything good enough. So as far as the recording went, we did do it during spring and summer, I think, of 2020. We kind of got a lot of it done before everything locked down and after. I was able to go to Wolf's and be with the guys. And so we could be in a room together. And also with our producer, Andy Sneap, he was in England. So he was also there on pretty much, you know, like we're talking right now. But he did have it dialed in somehow where he could hear the tracking as we were recording. So he could produce, you know, he was in the virtual room with us. So it was really great. I mean, it was fun doing that. I'm very glad it was that situation and not a remote situation, because I'm sitting there doing guitar tracks with Wolf Hoffman and Andy Sneap. It's like, those guys know how to make a good heavy metal record. So right. I was pretty much just trying to execute what they were suggesting as best as I could. So no, it was really, really fun. I'm proud of it. The whole band is proud of it. I'm really happy with the record and still tickled when I look in the gatefold, you know, so it's so funny to me.
No, it's a great record. And I mean, it definitely kind of like the show that we just talked about. Yeah, it's got that authentic accept vibe to it. It's, you know, a good heavy metal record. It's got the sound, you know, obviously with a modern twist because, you know, it is modern. But like Overnight Sensation, you could have put that on, you know, the Balls to the Wall record and, you know, nobody would have, you know, blinked an eye. So
that was the first one. That was the first one I heard of demos. Okay. And cool. I was just kind of like, oh man, you know, this is, because I love it, because bands of that time, like, you know, that late 70s Priest, late 70s Scorpions, they had a lot of rock and roll swagger, but still had a lot of elbow, you know, a lot of, you know, that.
Right.
It wasn't just, you know, that, which is some sort of new metal. It had a swing and you could kind of almost dance to some of it.
Yeah.
And when I heard Overnight, that was the first one. I'm like, oh man, this is fantastic. You know, it made me so happy. And the chorus is great. You can shake your ass to it, which is rare with a lot of metal these days. So yeah, they still have that element that I love.
Yeah, it's melodic, you know, like Accept has always been. It's got the heaviness to it, but it has the melody and it has, you know, mm-hmm. Princess of the Dawn. It's just, it's got that kind of energy to it. It really is a great record. So if anybody watching has not picked it up yet, I highly recommend that you do that. Stay tuned for whatever dates you guys have coming up, hopefully in the near future. Because did these Europe dates get postponed or were they just canceled?
Postponed to 2023 as far as the ones that were happening this month and next month. So yeah, 2023, fingers crossed for that. And then more fingers crossed for May in the summer schedule. So
I want to bring up, it's interesting that you mentioned that Wolf lives in Nashville now. I feel like Nashville has become, at least from what I've seen, I have a lot of friends that, you know, are in the rock and metal world. And it's funny because when you think of Nashville, you think of like country and the Grand Ole Opry. And the most musicians that I know who live in Nashville are like hard rock and metal musicians. All right. I mean, you can attest to that, I'm sure.
Yeah. I've been here almost 18 years now. And even when I moved here back in 2004, it was, I looked like this. I played like I play, and I started to get country work because they were kind of looking for longer hair, like, you know, more rock looking Skinner gunslinger type guys. And that's my wheelhouse really, is that kind of stuff. So I started working that way, working with like this, you know, looking like this. And I remember playing the Grand Ole Opry and I was the odd man out at that point. It was really strange. Now you've got guys with Liberty spikes, you know, playing the Grand Ole Opry. And, you know, I, at that point I was like, I was more like Merle, like compared to that, I'm like Merle Haggard compared to what's going on now. It's changed so much. And you know, with like Lower Broadway's where all the honky tonks and the tourist section is. Like, you know, when I moved in there, it was still mainly country. And so I couldn't really play down there for any gigs. So I didn't know the stuff. Now it's like just bad Bon Jovi and Journey covers down there. Like only like one bar does traditional country stuff. It's totally different. And it's because of people moving here. I had a weekly show for a while called the Rock and Roll Residency. Right. And we hosted all kinds of people that lived here. You know, all the guys, Rachel from Skid Row lives here. Kip Winger lives here. Damon Johnson lives here. We were having all those guys. Derek St. Holmes lives here. You know, all those guys were guests. I'm sure I'm missing somebody. And then we'd host people coming into town. We had the guys from Cheap Trick there, Alice Cooper, Roger Knopf from Deep Purple played. You know, we had all these people because there's so much happening in the town now.
Yeah.
This just wasn't here in 2005, you know, or 2004. So it's totally, totally, totally different. It's like an entertainment town now than just a country. I mean, music, country is always going to be kind of king because of right. Music Row and it's kind of based on that. But country is now, you know, encompasses a lot of ground. You know, you can just do a lot of kind of music and it's like, that's country. Well, it doesn't sound like country to me. Well, it's country. You know, it's yeah, a very broad description of country music now.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like I had Ace Von Johnson on the podcast a little bit ago, and he just moved to Nashville. And I know more people now who live in Nashville than I do who live in LA, which is really it's interesting that the kind of twist, because you know, you think of LA, it's like, oh, the Sunset Strip, that's where, you know, heavy metal and hard rock lived, and now
they've all moved here now.
It's all to Nashville. And I mean, I've heard really good things. I mean, I'm sure that it's great. You've lived there for 18 years now. So, I mean, if it was like, yeah, I got to get out of here, you probably would have done it by now. But,
yeah. But no, all the LA people are moving here.
Yeah.
That's why everybody's leaving. No, it's a great spot. You know, cost of living is gone up considerably here, but it still is cheaper than most cities and, you know, all the music's here. Yeah. Studio. I mean, you don't really need a studio anymore. You can record in your house. So, but no, it's a good place. I'll be here until I guess I retire at the beach or something, I suppose.
You mentioned the Rock and Roll Residency and Alice Cooper, which is a good tie into the tour that you did with Ace back in the fall, which was kind of, again, one of the first tours, I believe, that you did coming out of the pandemic, correct?
The first one. I had done a couple shows, but that was the first actual, you know, for real tour.
What was that like with, I mean, I read some stuff and I know a lot of people in the Alice camp, so I kind of had heard a little bit of what it was like, you know, kind of behind the scenes, but I'm sure that was a little intense with like rigorous testing and, you know, making sure that everything was kind of locked down and ready to go for, you know, the pandemic and everything. So what was that like for you guys to kind of go through that?
It was different. It was still great fun because we were all out and it was a great tour and, you know, it was just like good to do it again. But yeah, especially towards the end of it, because we were having like, you know, a week left and we're like, we're going to do this. Cause that was the big thing. Nobody was doing it. Nobody could make it through a tour.
Right.
And we had 5 weeks, which is 25 shows in 5 weeks. So it was a good schedule. It was pretty much locked down backstage. To get backstage, you had to be immediate family or, you know, girlfriend, wife, kid, you know, yeah. It definitely wasn't no meet and greets. There was none of those, no visitors. But to get back, you had to have a PCR test, be vaccinated and get a test on site. So it was many hoops to go through to get backstage, which is how it had to be. And we really kind of didn't go out as much as we normally do, like on days off. You got to go out and get food, but you know, we kind of kept that under control. And backstage, it was masks on unless you were in your dressing room, on your bus, or on stage.
Right.
So it was a lockdown, but like when we got to the end of it, and in Tupelo, Mississippi was our last show, and it was like, we did it. You know, and it was a lot. I mean, we did what we had to do, but it was a lot of luck because I know a lot of camps who were doing all the same things we were. And it, you know, you have to go in the truck stops. You have to go into gas stations. You have to go into restaurants. There's no way you can be totally isolated. You know, we're on this kind of a tour. You know, we're not the Rolling Stones. you know, we're not like being chartered everywhere. You know, we're not that way. You have to be around people. So it was everybody doing their part, but a big part of it was luck too. And just, you know, I don't really believe in luck, but I think it definitely helped us out on this one.
Yeah, it was quite amazing to, you know, see you guys get through it. And like you mentioned, I saw a lot of tours go down, and even lately, before kind of the variant thing happened, I've seen tours go down, and it's like you said, totally kind of a luck thing, but also, you know, luck, but also, like you said, taking the proper precautions and making sure that, you know, you're doing what you can to, you know, lessen the contact. It's funny. I saw Alice. He's like my number one. He's like my favorite dude. Yeah. I saw him on the first night of the tour, and I was so bummed because I got tickets, and it was the one night that you guys weren't with him. And I was like, oh
yeah, that's right. New Jersey, Atlantic City.
Yeah, that's right. And I was like, man. But no, from what I heard, I had a bunch of, you know, I have friends who went to the different shows, and it was it's a really cool bill. I mean, kind of had both, you know, kind of like shock rock legends there. And it seemed just like a lot of fun, you know, to the same kind of era of music. Same, you know, genre, same kind of, you know, theatrical aspects that, you know, go hand in hand with Ace. So I'm sure that was a lot of fun for you guys too, to just be back.
It was. I would have bought a ticket to that show. I mean, it was that, we're talking about the bill. It was such a good bill together. And yeah, it was great fun for us. We knew a lot of the band, Alice's band, before the tour, so it was like we already had kind of friends there, and then met the rest of them, and Alice and Cheryl were fantastic to us, and his crew is top notch. And so it was really, really, really fun. And we all really felt a sense of accomplishment when we got to the end of it, and we were just like, we could really, there was no back padding before that. Trust me, we were like, nope, don't jinx it, you know, we gotta wait. But we were all very, very relieved. And it was great. We had a great time.
Yeah. I can't imagine what it's like for you as a Kiss fan prior to, you know, joining, and you're in both bands, which is so crazy. You're in Gene and Ace's band, which is like, wow, as a Kiss fan, that's crazy. I mean, for you, I've heard the story before, but if you wanted to share it again, A, you know, how you got into Kiss, because I know that, you know, kind of got into them a little bit later, if I'm correct. And so, A, you know, how did you find Kiss, and, you know, how did that kind of evolve for you as a fan? And B, how does it feel for you as a fan to be able to play with two, you know, out of the four original members, which is just insane.
Yeah. How I got into them, you're correct. I was kind of late. I was in early high school. It was in the early 90s, and which at that time, it wasn't really cool to be a Kiss fan. And I had a friend, Brad McCorder, in high school that had the Kiss pinball machine then.
Wow.
So he was kind of ahead of the curve on that. He's a huge fan. So I was always curious about them. So I had to make me a mixtape of, you know, I was like, you know, focus on the makeup stuff, but put some of the whole thing. So he made it for me. And the first thing on the tape was Deuce off of Alive. Nice. And it really just hit. And I'd never heard that. I guess I'd heard Rock and Roll All Night, I guess was it. I really didn't know anything else. So that hit, and like, the explosion started. I thought my room was on fire. Like, this is insane. And I just got it. It just all hit, and I understood it. And then when the guitar solo happened, I'd never heard it before, but it sounded familiar. And I realized it was what I was learning in guitar lessons. It's like, that's the pentatonic, that's the minor pentatonic scale. It's like, oh, that's what that is. Because I've been a year or two into guitar lessons, and really frustrated because I can't figure out how to make this thing into music.
Right.
These scale patterns. Ace showed me how to do that. And he really taught me how to play lead guitar, because I didn't know how to do that before. It didn't make any sense to me. And I just got it. And from that moment on, I went from like not knowing about them really, and then to being like an obsessed fan. Like, I just got all of it. And I never stopped doing that. I kept being an obsessive fan. And Ryan and Jeremy, my bandmates from Ace and Gene's band, we were best friends, you know, before all this stuff. And we're friends because of Kiss. So the fact that like the three of us went from this and then into being in Gene's and Ace's band now, it makes so much sense. It doesn't make any sense at all, is how I put it. It's like, this stuff doesn't happen, but it does happen. You know what I mean? It's just, it's crazy.
No, that's insane. That's so crazy. Like, I just think about it, and as a fan of music myself, you know, to be able to not only, I mean, of course, you're still a fan in a sense, because that'll never really leave you, you know, even if you, you know them personally or whatever, but you right. get to look at them now as also, you know, a real person, you know, and somebody that you're friends with and that you know personally, and you know their, you know, some of their family and their life. And like, I guess that just must be crazy to kind of, you know, if you could go back and tell your, you know, self in the early 90s, that this is where you'd be, and be like, holy shit, right?
It's like, yeah, it's like, you know, when in a few years, you're going to email Gene something funny because you think it's funny, which is crazy.
So you played with Gene first, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah, that was, we did Gene's band in 2017. And that's when we started in 17.
So what was the transition like for you to, you know, play obviously with Gene and then kind of move into playing with Ace? So you're playing, you know, I mean, obviously you're kind of the same guy, so you kind of have that musical chemistry, mm-hmm. no matter which one you're playing with, but you know, you're playing with one member and then, you know, you kind of switch gears and then play with another. So, you know, were there styles of doing things a little bit different? Did it take a little bit of time for you guys to adjust? I mean, I know that they are, but musically, you know, was it a little bit difficult for you guys to adjust to kind of the way that each of them do it?
Not really difficult. My main thing was an instrument switch, guitar with Gene, and then I play bass for Ace. Right. But apart from that, I mean, when they're talking about those two guys as individuals, Ryan Cook puts it the best way. The only thing those two guys have in common is they were in the same band together. They are completely like opposites. And I know that, you know, you add Peter and Paul in there, and if you can have four opposites, you have four opposites in that band. So it's pretty amazing. But no, it actually kind of overlaps because we were in Gene's band, and then we did a tour of Australia, and where Ace played also, and we backed both of them up. And right. then so it kind of overlapped, and then that was over. And then after that, we were Ace's band. So it was kind of a smooth transition that way. It was just kind of, it's different traveling because with Gene, we were it. We didn't have crew. We were the traveling party, the four band members and Gene. So the five of us traveled everywhere and we saw him all the time. We were with him all the time. With Ace, we don't really see him until we're on stage or before we play. That's the main difference, really, is we were with Gene like all the time.
Right. It's interesting. Like you said, it's definitely they're very different guys. Even as a fan, I mean, they really all four of them are very, very different. And I find it really interesting, you know, also too, you know, kind of the lineage of the band and, you know, everything that they've gone through, and, you know, they haven't always been the best of friends during everything. And, you know, naturally as you do when you've known somebody for, you know, 50 years, you know, but so it's interesting that, you know, they have now come to a point in their career where they're able to share the same band and, you know, kind of figure out schedules and all that stuff. So that's also something I think about too, when I think about the both of them.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun in Australia seeing the two of those guys interact, and they were really good. They were getting along well, and the shows were fun. Ace came out at the end of our show and we played together, and that was always a lot of fun. But walking through airports like behind them was, and like they're both showing, Gene's got his phone out showing him something on YouTube or something, and sitting in an airport lounge and just seeing, I was like, this is nuts. that was the when I think me and the rest of the guys, that was when we were really like, what? How are we here watching this? But that was always a lot of fun.
No, it definitely sounds like it, especially for a fan. And I know that you do a lot of other kind of side projects that involve the band as well. And I know that you just released, I believe yesterday, a vinyl from the Car Jam, which is, you know, you do two Eric Carr songs and two Kiss songs. And that was Eric Carr. It is an Eric Carr-based charity that I believe you guys started sometime last year. So tell me a little bit about that, starting that in general, and kind of what made you guys decide to want to do vinyl of some songs.
Yeah, that I am only a guest on that. That was entirely organized by a Swedish friend named Jesper Lindgren. And he and Gustav Kronfeldt I'm trying to get better on my pronunciation. Those two guys pretty much masterminded the whole thing. Gustav played bass on the project and was one of the graphic designers of the project. And all of the, if you've seen any of the print ads or the movies that they put together, everything is so well put together on this. No, I was pretty much just asked to be part of that. Played on two of the songs, but it's me, Dragan, Ryan Roxy's on it from Alice's band. Who else we have? Jesper Binzer from DAD. And it's a pretty much kind of like all-star Scandinavian lineup put together. And I was happy to do it because I've been back and forth from there a lot, and I'm getting to know some more musicians over there. So I was glad to do it. And the songs came out great, and the packaging is absolutely incredible. You can actually order the vinyls out for sale now, and it's full of stuff that Kiss fans like. Like, there's tons of extra stuff in the vinyl, and so yeah, it's really, really great. It came out very cool. There may be another one of those. I think Jesper's talking about doing one of those. So yeah, it just came out yesterday, actually. So
yeah, I saw the promo that you reshared, and it really was put together so well. Looked that commercial that they did for it, looked like you could have seen it on, you know, like TV, like late at night, you know, in the 70s. Like, it was really well put together.
Yeah, it feels, even the vinyl and the look of it, the cover, the gatefold, everything in it feels like that stuff. They really did a good job of capturing the vibe in everything involving this, the look and the sound and the feel of it. They did a great job.
Yeah. Was the production or with the release of that delayed at all? Because I know that with vinyl right now, things are just insane. Like, the delays have been wild. So was that an issue at all for that?
You know, I don't know. I know that their release show has had to be postponed until March. They had something scheduled for, I think it was tonight or last night, okay. January 7th. I know that was pushed back. I'm not sure if it was delayed, the vinyl, because yeah, I've heard the same horror stories about, you know, processing plants being backed up. So
definitely, if you're a Kiss fan and you're watching this, please go check that out. It's super cool. Phil posted a little promo on his Instagram, so you can go ahead and check that out. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit too with you about the merchandise company that you have, Mutt Merch, which is it's got such really cool stuff. I see where the shirts are, their interviews, and, you know, Instagram, you got really cool designs, you know, mixing, you know, classic rock with, you know, like dogs and kind of pet themed stuff, which is right up my alley and any dog lover, which, you know, lots of them that watch this, lots of dog lovers are rock fans. So what was the idea? Where did the idea come from for doing that? Because it's kind of, you know, a little bit off of what you do. You know, you're mostly a musician, you tour, recording. So what, you know, lent you to the idea of wanting to start a merchandise company?
I've always liked it when I read about a musician that had another business. I thought that was very, very cool. Gene, obviously, is the king of that. And so he was kind of the first one. Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull is in fisheries. There's all kinds of people now that are doing it, but, you know, there wasn't too many. Gene was kind of the pioneer, I think, of all that stuff. And it was just I'm trying to think where it came from. It was just kind of, I think, sitting around one night and, you know, thinking about dog puns with bands, you know, like, oh, Fed for the Beagles, you know, the easy one, the Beagles. And then it kind of kept on going, you know, Bones and Noses. Okay. What's one for, Aerosmith? So Aerosniff, you know, and it just came from that. And I started looking at it and there was nobody doing it. There's a few shirts, like, you know, who made the Beagles shirt, but there was nobody really doing it. And, you know, spoof and parody shirts, you're not really infringing on a copyright. There's a lot of gray area there. And I'm like, well, this could be fun. I'll try it, yeah. You know, to get it shut down. So had a couple designs made with a designer here, and they were hilarious, and sort of trying to get some things going on. And now I've got more than just T-shirts. So I make, there's dog T-shirts and human T-shirts, so you can match, which is very important.
I love that. That's so important.
Yeah, and now you can get, there's pet bowls I have and collars and some coffee mugs and things like that. Everything's at muttmerch.com, and there is an Etsy store as well. But yeah, it's just fun. That's what I was doing in 2020 home. I was kind of revamping the website and just kind of building on that so I could you know, make a push, and it's going to end up being probably, you know, this year, making some big pushes and improvements to the website still, and always changing, always trying to find a way to reach new people and things like that. So yeah, by all means, merch, NUTTMERCH.com.
Yeah. Black Labeth is my favorite.
that's been one of our biggest hits for sure. That one's great.
It's really cool. I mean, like I said, I don't think I've ever seen anybody do anything like that. You know, you see parody shirts kind of all the time, but not really, you know, dog based. And like I said, a lot of, at least I found, and I'm sure you obviously have found as well, you know, a lot of rock fans are really big animal lovers. I mean, it's funny, you know, metal fans always have this conception around them that we're like mean and evil, but you know, we're really nice and we love dogs. So, I mean, you might as well do a merch company for them. So, it's awesome. I definitely highly recommend checking it out if you haven't checked it out already.
There's so many cat metal guys now. It's like all the metal guys with Rob Halford's and the Corpse Grinder guy is a cat guy. And it's just funny when all these big evil guys are sitting there with their cats with like Sir Twinkle Toes.
Right. I mean, it's funny. I mean, it's like all, you know, these, burly, you know, metal guys who, you know, sing really heavy stuff or, you know, their lyrics are crazy. You know, they always looked at like, you know, they're like evil or, you know, behind the scenes, they've got a cat or like a dog that they dress up and, you know, make a birthday cake for and all this stuff. So
yeah, it's about time that stigma was went away of metal guys. It's just, you know, we're just people, you know.
man, but yeah, that's really awesome. Definitely check that out if you haven't already. If you're watching this, on Mutt merch, like Philip said. Yeah, it's really cool. And I mean, like I said, it must be a little bit different. And it must be kind of almost in a weird way, a nice change of pace when you're working on that stuff, because I mean, you're kind of in this mindset a lot of the time of playing and recording and with, you know, your various projects, but sometimes it might be nice to kind of get out of that mode and kind of go into something a little bit different.
Yeah. And it's something I can maintain while traveling too, because I don't do any of the packaging and shipping myself. It's like, it's done for me. So I can maintain and keep track of orders on the road. So it's easy to maintain both.
So all in all, I mean, do you have anything else coming up, you know, fairly recently? I mean, I know like we mentioned a lot of stuff, touring has kind of, you know, got postponed or canceled. So you're a little bit stuck on that front at the moment, but do you have anything else coming up soon?
I have a couple things around here. We're doing another residency show, possibly the last one at the end of February. Wow. But then the next weekend, we start back with Ace. So we'll be back with Ace in March and April. And then I'm crossing my fingers for May. So, yeah. And some other things, too, that are very, very, very early and I cannot speak about yet. But yeah.
Cool. I mean, so it's going to be the last residency show?
Possibly. It's just we're gone. And I don't know. It's just like every one of those shows is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of cool with not doing that anymore. So we're doing it as a send off to the two things: the club that we played the last couple of years. It's closing in May, and our good friend John Bruton, who is the booker there, who we've known for way longer than that show's been going on, he's retiring after the club closes. So we're kind of doing it as a send off to the Mercy Lounge and to our good friend John. So. Doing that, which is, it'll be fun to do that again, see it, because, you know, I rarely see all the people that were part of that, so it'll be good to see everybody again and do a gig. And then I think the next weekend we're back out with Ace, so.
Right, and I mean, even if, you know, you kind of send it off now, I mean, you could always, if you wanted to, and you felt like you were called to do it again, you know, there's nothing stopping you guys from doing a one-off show here and there and kind of bringing it back. So you know, nothing's set in stone in that realm.
Exactly. If somebody comes and offers us $25,000 to do a show, we'll definitely do that show.
Heard it here first, folks. There's no never say never.
Exactly. Everybody has a price.
Well, this was so great. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast. Like I said, it was such a blast to see you and accept at the chance. It was kind of my last, I think it was the last show I went to kind of before everything started to, you know, plummet a little bit, unfortunately. But it was a blast to see you guys there, and I'm hoping to see you again. Like you said, fingers crossed, maybe with Ace or with Accept again in the summer.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And everybody, please go check out Philip on social media. He's on Twitter, Instagram, I believe. Do you have your own website as well, other than Mutt Merch? Or?
I think I have philipschaus.com, but it takes you to Mutt Merch. It directs you to that. Yeah, that's my main web store. So.
All right, cool. And yeah, go ahead and check him out to stay up to date with Accept and, of course, Ace Frehley and Gene Simmons, yep. as well as everything that he's doing with the Tailsmen, of course. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it, Philip.
Yeah, absolutely, Cindy. Thank you very much.
You just finished listening to my interview with Philip Schaus of Accept, Gene Simmons Band, and Ace Frehley's solo band. And man, wasn't that such a fun interview? It was so great to sit down and speak with him, and it was a blast. Love to have him back on in the future. Maybe do some, you know, really specific episodes when it comes to, you know, an album war or something like that. It would be so much fun. He is a diehard music fan, as you can tell from our conversation, and so much fun. I'm so happy that we connected and we were able to set this up for episode 49 of the podcast. If you loved what you heard and are interested in donating to the Metal from the Inside podcast, the best place to do so is over at anchor.fm/metalfromtheinside. Here you can go ahead and click on the support button and you can donate either $1, $5, or $10 a month directly to the podcast, and every single dollar I receive goes directly back into creating and producing even better content for you guys. And if you would like to donate but also receive some bang for your buck, you can go ahead and buy some Metal from the Inside merchandise over at season-of-mist.com. Just go ahead and click on the search bar and type in Metal from the Inside, and our flame logo tee will appear, and you can get our logo on so many different style shirts, hoodies, long sleeves, tank tops. You can get it on literally anything that your heart desires. So if you would like to donate but also have some merchandise and you know, be able to rep the podcast, that is definitely a route I suggest you take. Again, you can get that over at season-of-mist.com. And as always, I always like to say that there is no donation required to listen to the podcast. We are available for 100% free on every single streaming service. We are available wherever you get your podcasts. And most importantly, we are also on YouTube at Metal from the Inside. Just go ahead and type Metal from the Inside into the YouTube search bar and we should pop right up. And here you can watch all of the interviews that we've done here on the podcast, including today's conversation with Philip Schaus. So if you would prefer to watch instead of listen, that is definitely an option. Again, you can find us on YouTube at Metal from the Inside. If you would like to stay up to date with Metal from the Inside and the podcast, you can head over to our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook pages. We are on Instagram at Metal from the Inside, on Twitter at MFTI Official, and you can like our official Facebook page. If you'd like to stay up to date with me, Sydney Taylor, you can follow me on Instagram at Sydney Anna Taylor and on Twitter at STaylorOfficial. Thank you guys so much again for tuning into another episode of the Metal from the Inside podcast. Like I mentioned in the introduction to this week's episode, I am keeping my promise. We will be back every single Friday with a brand new interview or episode of some kind, whether it is an interview or, and like I said, an album war or something. There's going to be new content here for you guys every single Friday. And you can also find me DJing on 93.3 WMMR here in Philadelphia. I always share on my social media when I will be on the air. So if you'd like to know and stay tuned, you can go ahead and follow me on my social media. And when I am on, if you are not living in the Philadelphia, South Jersey, Delaware area, you can go ahead and stream WMMR on our website, WMMR.com. That is another way you can listen to some hard rock and heavy metal, as well as some fantastic new music. We play so much new music on our station. It's incredible. So if you are looking to kind of expose yourself to some new bands, I always recommend 93.3 WMMR. This is Sydney Taylor. Thank you guys so much again for listening to this week's episode. We will be right back here 1 week from today for episode 50 of the Metal from the Inside podcast, and it is going to be a special one. Stay tuned. As I always say, be safe, take care of yourselves, spin your favorite hard rock and heavy metal record for me, and we will see you in 1 week. Rock on!